Welcome to this edition of the Retail Gazette Unpacked podcast. I'm your host, Kieran Howells. And when a restaurant's success depends on speed, service and seamless experiences, even a moment of downtime, as we know, can spell utter disaster. That's why in this edition of the podcast, we're sitting down to discuss how the iconic brand Nando's UK dealt with this very issue and about the partnership that they built with Ericsson. We're going to talk about the failover connectivity solution that keeps Nando's UK's restaurants cooking no matter what, and the process that went into building resilience in their network. Please welcome Stephen Wingrove and Paul McHugh, who are going to tell us a bit more about that. Let's go ahead and dive straight in.
So, very excited to be part of the conversation today. My name is Paul McHugh. I head up sales and go-to-market for Ericsson Enterprise Wireless Solutions across the EMEA region.
I'm Stephen Wingrove. I'm the infrastructure manager for Nando's UK and I. So I support all, I guess, what you call enterprise services across our 500 restaurants.
Excellent, excellent. Well, maybe we could dig into that a little bit first then. So could you maybe tell us about Nando's UK and its position in the hospitality sector?
Yeah, of course. So with Nando's, we're, I think, one of the most recognized brands in the UK globally. I was surprised to know that we kind of cover, you know, 30-ish countries across the world, but definitely UKI being the one that I think most people can associate it with. I think we see ourselves as kind of a leader in innovation, and our focus is very much on being the, you know, most loved and most recognized casual dining establishment in the UK.
So obviously, the three of us are together to talk about connectivity, really is the fundamental of the conversation. So maybe you could tell us a bit about what the challenges Nando's UK faced and why you got together with Ericsson to work out the solution.
Yeah, so traditionally, before, I've only been here 2 years, so before my time, we were full MPLS, so legacy copper lines. You're reliant on one solution to be provided. You know, in terms of firewall and security, you were reliant on the supplier, their SLAs, as opposed to owning everything in-house. So when I joined, we were already on the journey into SD-WAN, you know, being able to do our own direct internet access into the restaurants, choose our suppliers, define our SLAs, have ownership of the kit we use and the kind of security regulations we put in. And along with that, we also won that diversity of, you know, reaching out to Ericsson and having that mobile failover solution. So at all of our restaurants, you know, we have direct, whether it's Ethernet, FTTP, FTTC. The goal is to give every restaurant kind of over 100 meg. And then with that, we have the mobile failover in the instances that we still require to operate, you know, still be able to give customers the chance to pay at the table, browse social media, everything like that. So the customer experience, the customer journey is always a really key part of us. And whether you want to go to the till, whether you want to sit behind your phone, which I know I like doing, and ordering and testing my own internet that I provide to the business is always nice for me to check. But, you know, the key thing is we very much see a tangible relationship with the reliability and speed of our broadband and people being able to do what they need to and our customer satisfaction.
Maybe, Paul, you could tell us from the other side of the equation, when the conversation started with Nando's, what was your kind of perspective of where the company was and your expectations for how that relationship was going to develop?
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously been aware of Nando's and their growth, particularly here in the UK, over the last few years. The requirement and the objectives that Stephen's just described, from our perspective, kind of working across retail and hospitality and with other casual dining and quick serve restaurant customers, it's not a unique requirement. We see this in a lot of areas. You know, there's a big focus on customer experience. Of course, there's a big focus on technology-based services and that all contribute towards that experience in a dining or a restaurant environment. And they have to work. You know, it sounds simple, but they have to work. They have to be always on. They have to deliver a good experience. And from a networking perspective, it's that network which enables and kind of underlays all of that technology. And so working with Stephen and the team, kind of understanding how and where Nando specifically wants to focus was a really important part of that process that we've gone through. In parallel with that, over the period of time that we've been working with Nando's, cellular connectivity has continued to improve and offer more options to us in terms of its performance, its availability. That's really helped us to kind of accelerate our program and our planning with Nando's, and now we're at a super exciting point in the whole process.
Yeah, and it's interesting that we're talking about this, because really connectivity, it underpins everything, doesn't it? I mean, nothing works. We've had outages recently in certain providers, and the amount of comedic posts about the things that don't work anymore when there's outages. I mean, I read a post saying someone's water filter didn't work because there was an outage. Do you know what I mean? The things that are now, our world is so connected in a way that it wasn't before. So why was addressing this connectivity problem so fundamental for Nando's? What's your situation? What are the key fundamentals that you really needed out of this relationship? And when you're out there speaking to different, you know, solutions providers, what clinches it for you?
Yeah, so I guess what drives it from our perspective is, you know, that availability and reliability. So when we're having these conversations over the last couple of years, myself, Paul and Ericsson, it is very much, you know, what is the latest technology? How can you support us? What's new on the menu? And this is all things that we might not even know exist, but the goal is to always innovate, look at the newest technology. You know, we look at cloud first. So again, being able to have that speed and technology is fundamental to us, and being able to give those customers a seamless experience when they sit down at the table, when they order our food, you know, a few minutes later it comes in. And to your point before, with the things that we use connectivity for, we have connected dishwasher and ovens, for example, that we put on Wi-Fi, and, you know, we know if they need detergent changing out because people can potentially ignore it, or, you know, when certain things are done, or being efficient, it's linked in with our ordering and does the orders align with what we cooked. And so these are all, again, knock-on effects that have cost-saving exercises over years and years, and waste potentially of, are we using too much? Are we ordering too much? Are we ordering too little? Which then has a knock-on effect of, someone makes an order, they don't have that meal. It then affects our customer service score. So that's just the simplest things like that have such a knock-on effect.
Yeah, it's a great point. And it's a blessing and a curse for a lot of people for those exact reasons. You know, the efficiency gains from having a truly connected brick and mortar to the issues that can occur when the connectivity is gone for whatever reason, which kind of brings me on perfectly to the next point, which is failover connectivity. So I'd love to know a bit about that, what solution was implemented, and from both of you, what goes into the failover equation.
Yeah, I mean, failover or backup connectivity or business continuity, it has many different names, but it's been around for a long time. You know, most enterprise grade networks will have resilience built into them. It's just a question of, how do you deliver that resilience? What's the right mechanism? What's the right technology to use? Our focus is 100% on leveraging cellular connectivity. And historically, even as recently as the last sort of 3 to 5 years, due to the performance constraints of a 3G and to a certain extent maybe even a 4G network, it's had limited application. So yes, if our primary network is down, we absolutely need to trade. So and we want to prioritize our high value business applications, which would typically be point of sale and staff safety and maybe security. But beyond that, we're kind of limited on what we can use the failover connection for. That historically, that's kind of been the case. You fast forward to more recent times, and certainly to present day, in my opinion, failover is almost the wrong term. It's more a case of, okay, we have multiple high performing network circuits available to us, fixed, wireless. How do we want to run our business? How do we want to run our operations? Steam's just given a bit of an insight into the number of different things that are connected to the network within Nando's. We're now at a stage where we're in a really exciting position where we can have interesting conversations around, well, how do you want to use all of the network? How do you want to use all of the network that's now available to you, leveraging fixed connectivity, cellular, 5G, with all of the performance and availability that is now part of 5G networking, to continue to drive technology-based services in restaurants? So anyway, I don't know whether I've answered the question or not, Kieran, but that's my view.
And I think one of the things you mentioned there, Paul, was interesting on it with the advancements in technology, you know, the 4Gs and the 5Gs. It certainly opened up a lot of good conversations with myself and my team in how can we change the way we set up our networking. So traditionally with the older speeds, it was just failover. So you'd have the primary lines, you'd have active, and then you'd have the secondary line just for in case as a passive. But actually, if we're looking at higher speeds, then we can absolutely do, you know, active. Let's look at what traffic we can send out certain routes. How can we prioritize it? How can we assure availability and kind of mix things up a bit in this kind of same side of that as well, is if we're having concerns with rolling out, you know, new broadband lines, new suppliers, everything, why couldn't we use a 4G, 5G mobile solution as a primary line in those instances to you know, to avoid not being able to open restaurants, or if we're looking to make a change and test and do pilot sites of how does this work as opposed to the traditional cabled connectivity.
And on that point, because it's a really interesting avenue to kind of explore a bit, I like what you said there about actually reframing and going, why can't we go active. Why do you think that there is maybe some hesitation? Is it historic because wireless connectivity has moved on so fast in recent years? Is it that actually it's quite hard to unpick what is probably quite antiquated processes? What is that?
So I'll give you my view first, Kieran, and then we can hear from Stephen on this one. But I think there's two reasons based on our experience here at Ericsson. So the first one is absolutely legacy perception. On a cellular network, historically, you could very reasonably hear an opinion which suggests something along the lines of, well, I don't get a good connection in the car. I don't get a good connection on the train when I'm on my phone. Why would I trust this technology to run my business? The reality is you're talking about technology from several years ago, and you're talking about mobile phone modems rather than enterprise grade 5G modems that you would find in technology such as Ericsson's. But perception around how well a mobile network performs is almost certainly one reason for that hesitation, and just not having a full appreciation of just how available and high performing they are today. So it's the job of the likes of us to help to challenge and re-educate around that perception. And the other one is cost. So again, historically, we've all heard and possibly even experienced these kind of bill shock scenarios where cellular networks, or more precisely the data plans provided for cellular networks, create exposure and risk to huge bills. And again, that is a perception which needs to be corrected. Now, in the modern world of data plans, that's not nearly as much of a risk. And when you've got a platform operating on top of that data network that's also monitoring and controlling consumption and making decisions that avoid costs associated with overconsumption, it shouldn't be a concern. But again, if that awareness isn't there, then I could completely understand that being a reason for hesitance.
I think from our perspective, it can be difficult because we don't really have a standard, you know, cookie cutter format of how our restaurants go up. You know, there can be some in shopping malls, there can be one in retail parks, there can be one attached to a cinema, there can be one inside of a supermarket. We have some situations where that's the case. And a lot of it can be part of the perception that Paul said of, if you're in the restaurant and you don't get mobile signal because you might be in one that's a full, you know, steel shell and no mobile signal's getting through. So then if we then tell the business that and they're like, oh, I went to Nando's and I had no mobile signals, then I went on to Wi-Fi. And then you say, that's the solution you're putting in. They're like, hang on, yeah. Hang on a second. That doesn't seem right. But I think a lot of that is the difficulty that we skirt is the perception of it. But also it's not necessarily a one size fits all solution because of the different setups we have and the different shapes and sizes that Nando's comes in, because we don't use the same setup in every single restaurant. We'd like to have a different design, a different feel, but if Nando's wasn't on the door, the idea is you walk in and you think, oh, I'm in a Nando's, but no two Nandos are the same. Again, it's the same thing. It's not necessarily the final end-all solution, but it is something we have explored and we have been interested to see as and trial as a new primary way to run our restaurants.
And so well, I must ask then about the relationship that Nando's has with Ericsson and a bit more about that. So how has the company supported you with the rollout across Nando's UK? How have you found that relationship to be? And try not to look Paul too much in the eyes, you know, tell us the truth.
So unfortunately, I wasn't around for the original rollout. So when I joined, it was already in place. And the architecture I inherited was, as I said before, you have broadband as the primary and you have a mobile failover as secondary. One of the things we're looking to do is, again, on point, is improving these legacy 4G solutions with a 4G, 5G capable solution. And part of that as well is also replacing the SIMs. So traditionally, we only had a one net SIM, so with a single provider, whereas now we are replacing our SIMs with a four net SIM. So then again, we're improving that availability. And something you don't know is really going on and is happening behind the scenes, but it's a step we're taking to improve that aspect of it. So in case anyone was not aware, the four net SIM is the kind of looks at the strongest signal of the four major suppliers. So that's the kind of way we're looking at, as well as looking at the 4G, 5G improved models to help with that journey.
And there are a few different elements I'd love to ask about specifically in here as well. So like one of the other things that people may have a concern about is security and security management. So could you tell us a bit about what that looks like and how you have found it?
So yeah, as I said, we at the beginning was we were full SD-WAN, so that then gives us the joy of being able to choose which broadband supplier or failover solution we put into the restaurant, and then it means it then ends at our kit. So then that from there, we have our firewall, we have our switches, we have our access points. That is all under the same provider, all under the same umbrella, and it's all owned by my team. That means traditionally, with an MPLS, you would then have the supplier owning and managing the MPLS, which is essentially the firewall. And then, like I said, we'd have to adhere to their SLAs, whereas that's all controlled by us now. It means as a global company, we can share with each other, you know, the latest security trends, the latest things that are going on. And with these major suppliers like Ericsson, they can advise us, you know, these are the kind of trends that we're heading towards. These are the things that we're seeing people doing, and we can start supporting and managing. We have the say of what our security posture looks like, and we're not reliant on anyone else. And that's one of the key things we're driving towards, is if it's a Nando's intellectual property, essentially, it is something that we want to know exactly what is coming in and out of it.
Mm-hmm. And then other elements, like, for example, remote monitoring is obviously an incredible benefit. Speak to any retailer, any, you know, QSR, anyone who knows that their brick and mortar is essentially a massive mess of cables. When something goes wrong, actually troubleshooting, knowing where that, you know, what the problem is remotely, and not having to wait until someone can be there in that specific location to probably dig through 100,000 cables is a huge benefit. Has that been something that's really moved the needle for you? And the same with proactive maintenance and troubleshooting and those kind of things.
One of the first things when I joined was introducing remote management tools. So we already had a vulnerability scanning company that was picking up these threats, you know, advising us the priorities, kind of telling us what to do. But everything was very much a manual. What can we kind of push through, you know, Intune or group policies and things like that, pretty rudimentary. But whereas now with a fully fledged RMM tool, it means that we can work side by side with the scanning and the RMM to be more proactive and, you know, set up patching rings, patching schedules, forcing mandatory updates. We're all on Windows 11 now. So now that it's gone, and Windows 10 has got end of life, that is, again, infinitely more a high reduction in vulnerabilities. Along with that, I think in the last 6 months or so, we've reduced our count of like vulnerabilities per endpoint by over half. So we're into the single figures now, which is a really good goal for us to be in. And that was one of the goals of doing it, was we can tangibly see the effect from when we implemented the remote management into it, onto every one of our endpoints, whether it's point of sale, our server estates, EUC, we know that we can show it on paper, the kind of benefits of implementing a solution like that.
Paul, I'm sure you have some things to say on these kind of key elements. Are these elements that really actually move the needle for Ericsson's customers in general?
Yeah, absolutely. Remote monitoring, remote management is an area that so many of our customers focus on. And when we talk about remote monitoring, we're not just talking about remote monitoring of the network. We're talking about remote monitoring and to a certain extent management of landside IT that is connected to that network. In a retail environment or a hospitality environment, to be proactively alerted to a case where a point of sale terminal has failed, or a sensor is telling us that a fridge or an oven is operating outside an accepted temperature range, for example. This is all really important information. It's not something that an organization like Nando's would want to be too reactive to. It would be proactively on top of situations like this with not just alerting, but also measures in place to manage and to resolve. A lot of our customers use our remote management feature to, for example, remotely reboot a point of sale terminal and just see if a good old fashioned reboot is enough to bring it back up online again, which often it is. and that's an alternative to a point of sale terminal being down for a period of hours until a field services engineer can get to site and conduct an analysis and provide a fix to that issue. So being able to really flexibly monitor and manage not just the network, but all of those technologies that are connected to the network is a real benefit.
And of course, we have kind of touched on some of the hesitancies that maybe are preventing others from taking a similar route. One of the absolute fundamentals is probably disruption. As we've said, when everything runs on connectivity, having to shut things down to move over to new systems, it's a challenge and probably something that a lot of people dread. It's probably the scariest day you have for a while, right? How do you minimize the disruption when introducing these kind of solutions? What kind of disruption can people expect as well?
Yeah, so installation has to be scheduled, of course, when you're putting a new solution in. And when you're operating with, for example, a quick serve restaurant that's open 24/7, that can be a challenge because you're typically offered a very aggressive change window. And there's a lot of coordination locally with the store that needs to be done. And you need to make sure that you've done all of your site surveys in advance, you know exactly what you're walking into in order to install quickly and efficiently. But yes, there can be an element of disruption associated with that. But one of the good things about our technology is that you can bring a new circuit online into an existing network infrastructure within minutes. The fact that in a network like Nando's, all of the endpoints will be centrally controlled. So essentially all you need to do is plug them in, install them at the right location, and then they will instantly download their configurations from that central management platform as soon as they're online, and then they're off and running. I don't believe there's any such thing as a zero touch deployment in our world, but we all aspire to getting as close to that as we can.
Yeah, to add to what Paul was saying, fortunately we're not 24/7, so we don't have to worry about that. But you know, we pre-schedule in advance if we do certain changes. They happen before we open trade. Typical trade is around 11 to 11 every day. So then, you know, we get there in the morning, we get there out of hours if we need to ensure there is no disruption to the business. And that's just a key part of it. And yeah, I think Paul's right with the zero touch piece, because we still need to, you know, get serial numbers, MAC addresses, input them into our system. When they're there, they might have had a firmware upgrade for a while, so then they have to pull that in. And then it can have a bit of a knock-on effect, but it's better than it was.
Yeah. And I guess it's like with all of these things, isn't it? To innovate your business takes some disruption. It's just a fact of life. But the alternative is staying with things that aren't working and are antiquated and that may cost you dearly in the future, I guess.
Yes. So much of that can be mitigated against with good planning and good testing. you know, in the world of networking, if you've done your site surveys, if you've done your capacity analysis, if you've tested your deployment architecture, then you are entering into those live production level deployments with a fairly manageable amount of risk. It's when you don't tick those boxes and you cut corners that you run the risk. And you know, we hear horror stories about retailers or hospitality companies investing significantly in new technology-based services that launching in their stores or restaurants, not conducting all of that kind of pre-deployment piece. They install them, they turn them on, and the network gets brought down to its knees. And then before you know it, you're rolling back. You're keeping those new, you know, expensive investments offline until you've reached a point where you feel like you can safely turn them on and run them on your network without impacting other kind of mission critical applications.
I'm trying to think from the perspective of our listeners, right? And I would love to know if there are any more really practical examples of how this solution has improved maybe a specific restaurant's operations or across the entire network. Are there any other kind of examples that you can give us there, Stephen?
Yeah, we've had throughout our time of, you know, moving away from MPLS, we were obviously going to face issues when implementing new broadband lines. You know, if they were traditionally copper and we needed to put Ethernet in or anything like that, you know, run new routes, you need to get permission. It rolls down, it drags for years. We have instances where, you know, some have dragged on for years because you're waiting on certain governing bodies managing the space and the services and not allowing you in there. Whereas actually, exactly what we're discussing now is, rather than wait down that line, we've done an on-site survey, we've reviewed where the 4G, 5G is capable, and we've installed it in the front of house, you know, up in the ceilings. And it means while that's still ticking over, we know we have this solution that all we needed to do was get engineering work, professional services in to install it and get it set up. And it's done. We can absolutely track from over time with certain restaurants, potentially the really busy ones are the ones that were having severe broadband issues. You know, they're getting less than 5 meg. We've put them on new plus 100 meg gigabit lines. We can see the customer satisfaction score just rocket of people, like I said before, people being able to go into the, you know, the social media, order at the table, reduce the crowding at the till, you know, reduce people complaining about orders not going through, things like that. There's just so many aspects of it, you know. We also have connected fridge, freezer temperature sensors as well. So then if we know there's an issue or there's a steady decline in temperature over time, it's a knock-on effect. Again, have you lost stock? Have you lost money? Have you lost something you weren't really prepared for? We're then notified. We get an engineer out there. They fix the fridge or the freezer. Okay, we can crack on and move on to the next thing. And how long would that have gone on before we'd have picked it up? And there's things like that we can absolutely track and improve. And it's not all just necessarily about the customer, it's the operational side as well that we can track.
I love that. It sounds like there's so much agility in the organization. You're not kind of sitting there with the sword of Damocles over your head waiting for the network to go down and the fridge to not work and the dishwasher to not work. It sounds like it's really an ecosystem of agility.
Yeah, absolutely. The goal is to always just keep operation, keep customers happy. And with things like this, the business is always very understanding with things like this. If they can see it's a IT can also, it can often be just a lot of tech debt of you're spending this money and what am I seeing the investment for? Why have you put this 4G, 5G failover in? It's only in what if it goes down? It's like, well, okay, so then if it fails, how much would we lose by having an outage for 4 to 8 hours, let's say, compared to paying X amount a month for a failover just to be there in case? The business is very supportive and understanding and forward thinking in that aspect of, you know, this is what we're trying to do, this is what we're trying to achieve. And the business goes, let's do some pilots, let's see if it works, and then go with it from there. And it's really exciting place to be.
That's fantastic to hear, because I think we probably all know what it's like, the frustration from not just a business perspective, but from a consumer perspective as well. I have been in supermarkets where I've filled my trolley and then not been able to pay because the network's been down. And there is nothing more frustrating. It does damage your credibility as a business, but also, as you say, being forward-thinking enough to think, okay, actually, implementing this now saves us so much potential damage in the future, it is a bold mindset that, as anyone in IT will know, it can be a hard sell, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be very difficult, but here it is very much a tech first. What can we achieve? How can we innovate? How can we lead? As opposed to, let's see what they do. We very much like being on the forefront.
Yeah, and that's really good for us as well, because as we discussed earlier, right now, if you ask them, there will be organizations out there who aren't ready to adopt, you know, cellular-based networking, for example, at an enterprise grade to run their operations or their business. And unfortunately, so many of the projects that we're asked to join and contribute to are born out of something bad happening, a significant failure of some kind. And we don't necessarily want that, you know. So if we can kind of continue to, you know, to share and socialize around kind of how this technology is becoming more commonplace within the infrastructure of networking in scenarios like this, then we can insulate against, you know, those things happening in future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You don't want to wait till it's all gone wrong before you do something about it. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're very, very nearly out of time, but I'm going to squeeze a few more questions in here. One is, what's the plans for the future? Are there any other kind of North Stars that you're aiming towards? Any other innovation, support, enhancements, anything like that you could tell our audience about?
Yeah, so a lot of the things we're going after are, at the minute, in my world especially, is focusing on, you know, removing that tech debt, looking backwards, which I think we inherently, I come from an engineering background, is you want to look at the brand new shiny thing and you don't want to have to look at the old legacy stuff. But one of the key things we're doing is, you know, standardizing certain things. So rather than four or five solutions doing the same thing, we're moving down to one. We're going through every single one of our comms cabinets and tidying even them to a standard. So, you know, I'm sure everyone has seen horror stories of comms cabinets of there's redundant kit in there. There's cables hanging out. You can't shut the door. So then what's the point of it being secure? And there could be instances like that in any business. And the goal is, you know, to have, you know, labeling, because we're not expecting everyone in the restaurants to understand what this kit is. You know, if we say, oh, look at the switch. Oh, what's the switch? Oh, you know, the big flat panel with all the network cables out, sticking out the front of it. Oh, there's two of those. Oh, no, the other one's a patch panel. And then it's like, and I'm sure that's a conversation if anyone's an engineer on here has had that conversation many a times. So labeling things like that, you know, here's the firewall, here's the switches, even down to using the right length cables. So using actual, you know, 10 centimeter patch cables, as opposed to, you know, people just find a 1 or 2 meter cable and go, ah, this works. And then making it fit in, you know, color coordination, things like that. So when we're supporting the end user, so if people move restaurants, if regional people move around, you go to a restaurant, you know, that is okay, I've seen this before because they've seen it 500 other times. Yeah, so standardizing a couple of our systems and, you know, moving to cloud first is the main thing that we're doing. We don't want to be reliant on traditional hardware. We're very forward. You know, we use we diversify even in our cloud platform usage and use what works for us, as opposed to, oh, this is what we have and this is what has worked traditionally. It is this is the best for this tool. So why aren't we using it? And it's very, very much a year of kind of transition and looking at the support side and how we can help the business and transforming, as opposed to necessarily what is the new shiny thing that I can brag about.
Fantastic. That's so great to hear. I love the idea of not just kind of digitally streamlining operations, but also physically cleaning things up. I love what you said there about being able to go into any different, you know, Nando's branch and know exactly what you're going to be looking at, not finding any horrible surprises along the way. And Paul, I'm really interested from your perspective. Throughout the course of this conversation, we've talked about a lot of innovation that's happened in recent years, really. From the Ericsson perspective, what else can people expect? What's kind of coming down the track?
Well, more products, more high-performing products, more features, more capability from a management perspective. We work very closely with the telecoms operators, of course, who are starting to, and we're starting to adopt more more technology around different ways of delivering networking. Right, so private cellular networking is a whole new space that is starting to gain adoption and traction. Telco operators are starting to introduce network slicing, for example, which is where portions of public network spectrum are essentially taken off the public network and dedicated to a specific area or to a specific customer or service to offer more guarantee around performance and availability. And so we support a lot of these types of initiatives. But in terms of our own products, we're always trying to find that balance between being affordable and being high performing, highly resilient and highly secure. We've got a lot of exciting new products coming down the track. If I just do one small plug, so from a retail and hospitality perspective, we are launching a WAN and LAN kit for small to mid-size locations. So not only the wideband adapters or the 5G routers, but also kind of a LAN side switch and AP package, all managed under the same NetCloud environment. That's pretty much here now, and something that could be a good option for the world of retail and hospitality moving forward.
Fantastic. Great to hear. Loads to be checking back in on then. Thank you both so much for your time. I'm so sorry to say that we are out of time now, but it's been a real pleasure to speak to you both. And yeah, hopefully we'll get to catch up again soon, because it has been really enlightening.
Yeah, thanks so much. Great conversation, both.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.